And to consider with you this morning just a phrase, really, that we find in Psalm 62 and at the beginning of verse 8. Psalm 62 and the opening phrase of verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Now we know that one of the great themes that runs all through the scriptures is that of faith. Faith in God. A very well-known Welsh minister was asked by another minister for a succinct definition of faith. And after a day or two of thought, apparently the answer came back, and it was very succinct indeed. Faith is believing God. And that's about sums it up, doesn't it? Believing God. That's what faith is. Believing God, believing his revelation of himself in Scripture, believing all that he claims and asserts to be true about himself. That's faith. Faith believes in all of the attributes of God, all of his power and knowledge and wisdom, the infinite nature of Almighty God that we have revealed in the Word of God. Faith also believes in what God has spoken concerning his works, what he has done in creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Faith also believes, of course, and this is so very, very important, in that in God alone and in God's Son alone do we find the way to eternal life. And that's what we call saving faith, faith that lays hold upon the Son of God as the Saviour of our souls, having done all things necessary for our eternal redemption. In Psalm 62 and verse 8 at the beginning there is this word trust. And trust is an aspect of faith. And it brings out, I suggest to you, something very wonderful and very important about the nature of real faith. Trust, I would suggest, is a confidence in God, a confidence in who he is, what he promises, and that confidence leads us to utterly and to entirely rely upon him, to depend upon him, to rest our souls in him and in his word and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A confidence in God, then, for life in this world, for everlasting life, and for help and support in every circumstance that we may find. Trust. Now I wonder where people generally in the world today do put their trust. I wonder whether people even realize that they are trusting something. But we are. If we're not trusting God, then who are we trusting? Are we trusting ourselves? Are we trusting what other people might tell us? Trust in anything other than in God is never a good thing. In the Psalms we read, Psalm 44 and verse 6, for example, I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. There's a man who will not trust himself. He knows only too well his own frailty and foolishness. Psalm 146 and verse 3 gives us an exhortation. Put not your trust in horse princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And so there's an exhortation. Don't trust those worldly, earthly powers with all of their wisdom and their philosophies and their props for life. Don't do that. We come back to this trust that is to be placed in the Lord, for trust in the Lord is always a good thing. Look at some of the expressions that we find here in verse 2 and again in verse 6. Verse 2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. These terms suggest something wonderful about the Lord. My rock, the word there means a boulder. Something large and solid and immovable is an image of something that therefore is dependable, that can't be changed and will never let me down. And that's the truth about the Lord. When we place our trust in him, he will never let us down. He is my salvation, says the verse, and he is our salvation. He saves from sin, its guilt, its power, its misery that it always ends in. He is the source of our salvation. My defense, the verse says. Defense against enemies of all sorts that mean me harm and can bring ruin to me. Human enemies, spiritual enemies. And we must never forget that the greatest enemy that we have is not visible, but he's very real and he's very powerful and he's very cunning and he's very persistent. And he snaps at our heels all the time. He whispers into our ears. He puts thoughts into our hearts and desires there that are all against the good of our souls and against the glory of God. And who am I talking about? Well, you know who I mean. It's the enemy, Satan, the devil himself. And we need a defense against him, for he's too strong for us. He's too clever for us. He will wear us down and he will bring us down to his awful depths of depravity. We need a defense and God is our defense against him. My refuge. Well, where do we turn in our times of difficulty and distress? It's unto God that we must go, for none can do for us what he can do. None can give us safety and peace as he can. Well, the verse says here, trust in the Lord. But it goes on to say, and this is the main emphasis of the message this morning, trust in the Lord at all times. All times. Our great problem is that we can trust in the Lord sometimes. But the verse here goes much further than that. It takes us to this point where we are to trust in the Lord at all times without any exception. Sometimes the word all in the scripture needs qualifying, but not here. Trust in the Lord must be in our hearts at all times. Now, what do those all times embrace and include? Well, we start at the beginning. When we're born into this world, we're born into this world in our sin. In that state of need and of condemnation. When we're born, and it's true of all of us, we're born far from God, in a sinful state, corrupted natures. We're not saved, we're under rather God's condemnation. And it's when the grace of God begins to operate within our souls that we realize what's true about us. Do we all realize what's true about us? If we're not trusting in God for our salvation, then we are still as we were when we first came into the world, born in sin. We don't know God's favor. We don't know God's blessing. We can't expect heaven at the end because of our sin. And that's where we begin. And that's where we continue until we place our trust in the Lord himself for the salvation that only he can give you. Are you aware of this? Are you concerned about your sin and your guilt and where you stand before God? I hope you are. And if you are, it's one of the greatest blessings that you will ever know, because there are millions in this world who don't know what that's like. They're deceived. They're led astray by everything that is put around in the world today, and the devil makes sure that that will be the case, and he will deceive our own hearts. But here is the unquestionable truth. When we're born, we are in our sin and we're under God's condemnation, and this is where our trust needs to begin, in him, in God alone and for all things. Worldly counsel would tell us something very different from this. Worldly counsel would say to us either one of two things mostly. Well, you don't need to worry about that. You can trust yourself, after all. You're a very nice person. Now, I'm sure that we all know very nice people, and I'm sure that we are all very nice people, that people think well of us, that they like to be with us. They congratulate us upon our character and our achievements and our very nature. But that cuts no ice with the Almighty God. Not what we think about ourselves, nor what other people think about us. Our achievements matter nothing. Our accomplishments are a vain thing. What we need is the mercy of God, and we only find that mercy of God through faith, through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world may also say to us, well, just forget it. Forget it. Let's go out and enjoy ourselves. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, so let's make the most of it. That's the kind of advice that many would say. You're too hard on yourself. You don't need to take these things seriously. You can brush it all to one side because really it doesn't matter. You need to get on with life. But is that the answer? Is that where our trust is? Do we trust that kind of advice and trust that kind of counsel? I really do hope that we don't. Trust in the Lord. In a state of sin, trust in the Lord for his salvation. He is the only Saviour of sinners. This is the only counsel worth believing, the only advice worth accepting, the only one in whom we can confidently place our trust. He's the judge of all the earth, with whom we have to do and before whom we will all have to stand one day. But he is merciful and gracious through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is one who comes to us full of promises that he will pardon us and forgive us and make us right and accept us. Whatever our sin may have been, we can trust in him for forgiveness and acceptance. Trust in the Lord at all times, including the very beginning of our Christian lives. This is where it all starts. But it doesn't finish there. Trust in the Lord is where Christianity begins, but that's not where it ends. The whole of life in this world is a matter of trust. That's what the verse is telling us. Trust in the Lord at all times. And those times include times of doubtfulness. Think of that man that spoke to the Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Are we plagued by doubts and fears at times? A lot of people endure this, and it affects all of us to some extent, at some time at least in our lives, some more than others. But here comes the enemy with his evil insinuations that assault us, and our sense of assurance is undermined. And how often have I heard people say to me, well, yes, I know the Lord is good, and I know what his word promises, and I know he's very kind and gracious to many people, but that's not for me. Well, why not? Why not? He's always good. He's always willing to be merciful and gracious to those who call upon him. So, when our doubts appear, when our concerns arise within our hearts, when we're unsettled, and these things do happen, where's the place that we go? What do we do? Do we just wait for the experience to pass? Do we hope for a better day? Or do we come afresh to the same God in whom we trusted at the beginning and say, Lord, my trust is in thee, and in thee and in thy word, and I hold on to thy promises, because thou art a God of truth and a God who does not change. I come back to the words of life that thy son spoke in his days in this world that are recorded for my comfort and my assurance. I know that thou art a God to be trusted, and I put my trust afresh in thee, in thy word of promise that will never be rescinded, that will never change. So when doubts may arise and fears come, and we echo that prayer so long ago, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, and he will. and he will, for he has not changed, and he is a God in whom we can place our trust at all times. Then there are those times of spiritual weakness and failure as believers. And who doesn't know this experience? When our hearts grow so very cool, if not cold. When we backslide. What a suggestive term that is. Backsliding. The whole notion of sliding doesn't suggest an overnight fall, does it? It suggests a gradual process. And when we backslide, it is that kind of experience where we have been people that trust in the Lord, that know the Lord, that rejoice in the Lord, that serve the Lord, that go on with the Lord. And then big things begin to change. And our hearts grow cold, and we don't seem to have that same enthusiasm for the things of God that once we had. The word of God doesn't seem to have the same power, and it doesn't seem to speak to us as once it did. And we don't seem to have the same facility in prayer as once we had. And it's so gradual, it's just a slide, and we don't know that it's happening, and we don't realize it. Until one day, by the grace of God, we wake up to the truth. Remember once that somebody said to me, almost in tears, I realized that I'd been backslidden. And he had been agonizing on his knees before God that the Lord would restore him and the Lord would bring him back. And at last he regained that peace that he had lost. And he trusted in the Lord at that time to forgive him, to restore him, to bring him back. And he did. And that's the nature of God. So if we realize, I don't know whether it might be true of anyone here this morning, but it may be in the future, if not already, that we're not where we ought to be. We've deteriorated in our spiritual lives. And it takes a wake-up call from heaven to make us realize that this is what's happened. Don't give up. Don't think that it's all over for you. Don't think that you were never a believer in the first place. Trust in the Lord for his forgiving grace, and he will restore your soul and bring you back to where you need to be and where he would have you to be, with a confidence in himself and with a loving heart toward him. Then there are other times when we need to trust in the Lord. Times when we feel inadequate for the Lord's service, for Christian life. Now, that, I would add, is never a bad thing. Because, as the apostle said, who is sufficient for these things? We may be very sufficient with our natural gifts for the kind of thing that we face in the world. But who is sufficient for the things of God? Who is sufficient to do daily battle with our sins and our temptations? We may well feel our inadequacy for that. And if we don't, then we need to realize that we need the Lord for it. How can we meet the challenge to mortify our sins? To weed out those sins that are so much a part of us? How can we do that? How can we rise up to the challenge of God's word? We read in the epistle of Peter earlier in the service, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." How are we going to do that? How are we going to not only conquer our sins, but positively improve in our graces? We're so weak, we're so feeble, the enemy is so strong, life is so demanding, we become so weary. How are we going to meet up with these things? Well, we read the challenge, we can't just pretend it's not there. Trust in the Lord at a time like that. How can we face the demands of Christian service? Dear friends who engage so faithfully and self-sacrificially in the service of God in a local church, it can be very, very demanding and very wearying. I speak from experience, and anyone that's given themselves to the labours of God will know very quickly what I mean by this. How can we persevere in times of discouragement, in times when things don't seem to go as we wish they would? How can we meet these things? How can we hope for better days? Not by looking at the world, that's for sure, and not by relying upon our own resources, but trusting in the Lord. Do you do that for what you do in the service of God? Do you rely upon Him in His grace, in His wisdom, in His strength, in the prospect that the next Sunday school lesson, the next sermon preached, the next prayer offered may be the very means whereby God comes in a new way? Then there, of course, there are other times when we need to trust in the Lord. And probably this is one with which we're so very familiar. In those times of trial and tribulation. Times of real adversity. When we suffer loss and heartbreak. And the events of life come against us as hammer blows, one after the other. You think of Job. You read that opening chapter of the book of Job. And there is a very wealthy and a very godly man. And yet, in quick succession, he loses his flocks and his herds, which represent his wealth. He loses his children, his family. He loses his health. And he even loses the counsel and comfort of his wife. Curse God and die. And it can feel like that at times in life in this world. Everything seems to be against us. Nothing seems to go our way. One thing after the other. And there are times when we are puzzled by it all. What is God doing? What's going to happen next? Is there ever going to be an end to these things that bring me so low and break my heart? And life can be full of discouragements. Nothing seems to bring better days and better experiences. What do we do at times like that? Do we give up? Do we do as Job's wife said, we'll curse God and die? In other words, give up your Christian faith. Is the Lord forgotten me? Is He turned away from me? Is His love ceased? Is His care no longer upon me? Trust in the Lord at all times. The skies may look very dark, and often they do. The sun is obscured, but the sun is there, and God is there, and God has not changed. And though we're puzzled by it all, He knows what He's doing. He is the God of mercy and grace and love and care, no matter how it seems to be. He knows. He watches. His concern is deeper than anyone else's. And He has a sympathy for us. You think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Wasn't His life in His humanity a life of faith and a life of trust? Don't we find Him in the gospel accounts on the hillsides, whole nights in prayer? We don't have those prayers recorded. We have one recorded at length in John 17. God willing, we'll look at part of that this evening. But what prayers they must have been, what rigors He faced, what difficulties, the rejection, the hostility that He met in this world. Why was He here? What was He to do? Would everything work out as was planned? Well, of course it would. As God, He knew that, but He was a real man, and He agonized about these things. And our Savior sympathizes with us because He lived a real life in a real world, as we do. But our Lord is always in command. And this is where our trust needs to settle in the end. The God of our salvation is in command of all things. The devil rages, the people imagine a vain thing, but God is upon his holy hill, and none can ever remove him. He's a God of grace to us. He's a God of mercy. His love is never diminished, will never be exhausted. And he is able, and he will see me through. And while the puzzlement continues, I trust in him that God is at work. God is always, at all times, fulfilling his purposes. May we have that trust in the very difficult times that we might pass through. But then, there are other times when our trust must be in the Lord, and I mean by this times of peace and prosperity. I speak about times of adversity, of trial and tribulation, but life is not always like that. Don't want to paint a picture of abject gloom and despondency for the Christian life, because that's not how it is. We're told to rejoice in the Lord, aren't we? And we do, and we're glad that we can do so. And there are times of peace and prosperity when everything seems to be going so well. Life is just as I want it to be, and I feel calm and my soul is undisturbed. My plans are all in place. Everything seems to be working out in life. I know and experience blessing in spiritual life. I have such joy in the Word of God and in meeting with the people of God in the house of God. The Lord seems to help me so much in prayer. The Word of God comes alive and speaks to my heart. And I know blessing in Christian service. People respond to the preaching of the word. I see children coming in to the Sunday school. My witness amongst my workmates and neighbors seems to be fruitful. At last, they're listening to me. And as a believer, I'm appreciated by other believers. But it's at such times as that that it may be most difficult to trust in the Lord, because what we tend to do without realizing it is that we're trusting in how things are. We're trusting in what God has done. We're trusting in how things appear to be. They're so settled and they're sure. God has given me gifts. God has made me wise. God has given me experiences of himself. And subtly and unconsciously, our trust is removed from the Lord and our trust is transferred into how things are and even in myself. And that's so dangerous, because that's a form of idolatry. We're not trusting in God, we're trusting in how things are going and what I'm able to do and what I'm able to accomplish, my successes, my triumphs, my abilities. We need to be very careful at times like that, because even though things are as we wish they might be and have prayed that they might be, the glory for it all is his and not ours. And our trust must never cease to be in the Lord. Otherwise, we may end up rather like Nebuchadnezzar. You remember the great king who strutted about his palace congratulating himself. Look at this great empire that I've built up and this palace that is the envy of all the world. What a great man I am. And God humbled him and made him behave like an animal until he came to himself. And then he acknowledged that God was God himself. Peace can soon turn to turmoil. Success can soon become of adversity, and our trust must be in the Lord at all times. Now there's another application to this. Trust in the Lord at all times, not only in all the experiences of life, but all through the stages of life, the various ages that we pass through. in life. So this is really a message that is for young and old and all between. I think we've got extremes here this morning probably. But trust in the Lord is at all times of life. And if you're young here this morning, trust in the Lord. Youth has its energy and ambition and optimism. And this is part of the message of the world, isn't it? You can do it. Think well of yourself. You can make something of yourself. Well, you can listen to all that kind of a thing, but it's a dangerous world that we're growing up in these days. Its advice will never be to seek the Lord. It will offer so many attractions and make so many promises that are a substitute, and a very, very poor substitute, I may add, for the living God. Don't embark on life as a young person with trust in what the world says, what the world offers, what the world promises, but in the Lord himself. He knows best for you. He can frustrate your plans, or he can give you better plans, and his plans are always better than anyone else's, and he will make everything work for your good, your spiritual work, your spiritual good. What a one to place trust in at the outset of life. What better way is there? There are so many people that have come to trust in the Lord later in life, and without exception, they would all say, I wish I had placed my trust in the Lord before. So many years wasted, bad decisions made, false paths taken, and oh, if I could only start again and listen to the word of God and place my trust in him and not in myself and what I hear about me, oh, it would all have been so different and it would all have been so better. So if you're early on in your life, my friend, place your trust in the Lord now. But then some of us are in older years and we're old enough to have learned very well just how weak and foolish we can be and are. And we can look back and remember our disappointments, those decisions that we should never have taken, those wrong paths that we followed, and we didn't listen to the wisdom of God. We placed our trust elsewhere from him, and we do wish that we could turn the clock back. Well, what do we do when the years have gone, the years have passed, when we can't turn the clock back, when it's all behind us and what's done is done? Well, it's still the time to trust in the Lord. Most of life may have passed us by, but there is still some life yet to come. And as the promise in the book of Joel was written, still stands good, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I will restore the years. Doesn't God have a way of making the few years that may remain in some measure to make up for what's gone by? To not trust in the Lord for the years that are yet to come, however many years they may be, however many few they may be, is the greater folly of all, isn't it? Trust in the Lord now. Put things right between us and him. Come with repentant spirits. Come with humble hearts. Come and confess our failings and our sins. Express our regrets and disappointments. And ask him and say to him, Lord, may it not be in the years to come how it's been in the years that have gone by. I trust in thee to lead and guide me in whatever years may remain before thou wilt come to this earth or thou wilt take me to thyself. On the other hand, we may recall over the years, of course, many, many blessings, and every Christian will. The blessing of first coming to the Lord, the blessing of being restored when we've backslidden and fallen away, the blessing of being used and taken up in God's service. What wonderful things. The blessing of being able to testify to a world outside of the saving grace of God, the blessing of answered prayers and the promises fulfilled from the Word of God. Well, we look back over so many wonderful blessings of the Lord, but we still trust in the Lord for what's to come. If he's blessed us in the past, he can bless us again and pour out more blessings upon our souls while we're still here in this world. But perhaps the greatest stage of life in which trust in the Lord is such a precious thing and a needful thing is in the day of our departure from this world to go unto God. And this is why we need to learn to trust him now and not wait until then. The sooner that we learn to trust in the Lord for all things and at all times is the better for us. To trust in Christ and in his saving grace, in the constancy of his love, and in the faithfulness of his word. To come with that in our souls now, that when the end does come, we will know the one who alone can take us into the glories of heaven. To come to that hour of our departure, rich in the experience of Christ. We may come to that day, to that hour, and say, as it were, I know my hour is near, but I know my Saviour. He has been my rock. He is my salvation. He has been and is my defence. He will not fail me now. I trust him now more than ever. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's trust. That's confidence. That's the confidence that drives away fear and deals a fatal blow to uncertainty. I know him. I have known him. I have proved him. He has proved himself to me all the days of my life, ever since that first day when I placed my trust in him. I'm confident in the power of his saving blood, of the sacrifice once made upon the cross of Calvary. My trust is in him and in him alone, and I know I shall not be disappointed. There was a Scottish Puritan back in the 17th century called David Dixon, and his writings, his works are still published today. And he said something like this. I can't quote you the exact words, but this is near enough. He said, I have taken all my good works and all my bad works unto God and cast them in a heap before him and fled away to Jesus Christ. And I think that sums it up, to have trust in the Lord. He believed with all his heart that his good works could never see him into heaven, and he believed with all his heart that his bad works, his sins, would not keep him out of heaven, because his trust was all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that says it all. Confidence in the Lord, a trust in him that gives us peace and assurance and joy. Is that trust yours? Do you know this great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Perhaps your faith has been shaken. Perhaps you have passed through deep and dark waters. Perhaps you are in those dark times even now. But you can look up to God in the face of Jesus Christ and find him afresh to be a faithful God, a saving God, a loving God, who will never disappoint you, who will never let you go, but will bring you into his glory to be with him forevermore. Whatever time this time is for you, my friends, trust in the Lord, and he will do you good and be your God forevermore. Amen.